How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Nancy, thank you so much for joining me on the Organize 365 podcast.
I'm so excited to be here. I feel like I've arrived, that I'm on the Organize 365 podcast. My dream. I've been waiting for the day.
Oh my goodness. Well, Nancy and I are going to go totally off script. So, you know, I have a script and I have all these questions I ask everyone, and we're just going to like not do that because Nancy and I know each other in person. We've done business together. I have been her in-home professional organizer. And so we're just going to talk all things business and life.
I love it.
So Nancy, can you start by just like tell everybody, so we both live in Cincinnati, Ohio. Tell us about your family. And also like you've run a business before called Nan Cakes. Like bring us up to speed, like before 2012, before we met, what was your life like both as a wife, a mother, and a business owner?
Oh gosh. Okay. So before 2012, I was a somewhat stay-at-home mom, although I think that's a misnomer. I don't remember staying home very much. Very active community volunteer in many different aspects. We had at that point, well, we still have three children, thank God. Haven't lost one of them anywhere. But at that point, I would have had a early high school and late grade school, early middle school twins. So I had our daughter probably going into high school and then the twins sort of in between elementary and middle school somewhere. And very busy household. Everybody played lots of sports. You know, two dogs, a husband that's a solo practice obstetrician. So imagine that crazy schedule. And I always said all that and a partridge in a pear tree because it just always seemed like lots and lots of plates in the air. And so, of course, in the middle of all that, I decided to start a business because that was, seemed to make sense at the time. And I started the business because I had this amazing carrot cake recipe that everybody always was dying for. But I also had all this marketing, branding, sales background from my Chiquita banana days and thought, well, gosh, what if I marry those two things? What would happen? And sure enough, the very first time that I introduced this branded carrot cake, it took off. And I ended up having these amazing opportunities in Nordstrom and Honey Baked Ham and local grocery stores, lots of catering. And there I was with a business.
Yeah. And I find that when your kids are ending that middle school or the elementary years going into middle school and they're starting to get independent, but yet they need so much of your time, specifically your driving time. If we have chosen to stay home those years with our children, we're like, okay, good. Looks like they can play on their own and they're in a lot of sports that I have to drive them to and all that. But some of the time is getting freed up and we start to get the taste of like, I want to do something that's just mine.
Right. And, exactly.
And so I love these Wednesday podcasts because we're hearing from so many different kinds of families. And Nancy, frankly, your family's pretty high powered. Like, whenever I'm around Nancy, I'm meeting like basically heads of state and things like that. And Nancy's like, I'd like to have you over. I'm like, I will be there. Whatever you're doing, Nancy, I will go to your house and meet like hashtag all the political know-hows in the area. And you've been in Cincinnati a long time. Your husband has a private practice. He's an obstetrician. Your home is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Did you remodel it or did you build it from the ground up?
We built it from scratch.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Totally custom. Very fortunate to be able to do that. And The background was we did not want a new house. Mm-hmm. We were coming from an area of town that had all this old, beautiful architecture. And I didn't want a new transitional looking house. I mean, I don't have anything against them. It just didn't speak to us. So I did a lot of research and ended up, we built a very authentic Federal. Most people can't tell that it hasn't been here 100 plus years.
I love going to old houses, specifically like President Jackson's house or like some of these old presidential homes. And that's what your home feels like to me. Like when you walk in, it is like a brand new old home, but it's not just like, it's not like, it's like a stately old home that has really cool rooms and everything. And like you mentioned, your kids are all in college now, right? Are they all in college now?
Well, two in, one out. One's off the payroll and two are still in.
Off the payroll. So when we professionally organized your house, there's a lot of space. Like the house was custom designed, big rooms, great for entertaining, wonderful kitchen, but it's set off. It's not like one of those kitchens where you're talking to people in the kitchen. It's like you would see like, I don't know, 200 years ago where the kitchen is set off from the rest. Working kitchen, great pantry. Like it's almost like a pass-through room, just like really, really cool spaces. But even having custom designed that house and been able to afford the things that you wanted in that house, there still was clutter. And not only so much clutter, I would say more when I professionally organized you, it was the pace and the quantity of things that you're involved in. Like, it is amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. And that still tends to be my biggest issue in life is, you know, spring-loaded arm syndrome. I like to be busy. I'm not a good downtime person. Although every once in a while I hit the wall and I need like serious downtime.
And I would say the difference in your kind of busy is like I said to Greg the other day, I said, did you ever think Organize 365 would get this big? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, how big do you think it'll get? You know, like I'm all like all excited. And, but I have had many, many, many failed business attempts getting to the Organize 365 thing that's going to work. And so many women that I have professionally organized were organizing ideas of things they might want to do one day. With you, we were organizing all things that were actually being done or that you were on the board of or doing, like very active kids who were all going to traditional colleges and applying for all of the scholarships and all of the things. I did not do any of that with my children, like all very active in sports. I did not do any of that with my children. A husband who owns his own business, mine goes to a 9-to-5 job. Like there were just a lot of the quantity of actionables that you were dealing with, owning your own business, selling that business, then going to work for Aviatra and all the other things that you've done in the middle, running for political office, being on the school board, like Nancy, you exhaust me. You do all things.
I was put in your life to be an organizational challenge.
Oh Lisa. My goodness. Well, I'm pretty darn sure that the very first thing I told you when I professionally organized you was that you needed a personal assistant. I had to. Yes. Right. Because, and I'm saying this because some of you need to hear this. If you are literally doing hashtag all the things and your kids are applying with scholarships and doing sports and going to four-year school and you own a business and your husband owns a business and you're in politics and you're building your own house from scratch, you need an assistant. Like this is not, you cannot do all of those things. And so, right. So that is one thing that we really talked through and how would you, That's a skill, right? Being able to have an executive assistant, a personal assistant, and use them to the best of their ability and then free up your mind so that you can continue to do other things. Yes. I would say probably when you and I meet, that's what we keep coming back to is you need more people.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do. And, you know, the interesting thing is when you told me to do that, I jumped right on it because I was like, aha, yes. Mm-hmm. And you sort of gave me the permission to do that. You know, that felt a little bit like I still felt like I was not working, big air quotes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did I really, was that just a luxury or was that just, does that sound like a diva or whatever? But I'm telling you, first of all, I found awesome young women that was great experience for them. They were terrific to work with. And it did really take a lot of that stress off and made me able to focus and be successful in, you know, different areas. And now I think I probably need you to kick me in the tail again and tell me to get a personal assistant because I think now I don't need one because the kids aren't here.
The kids but are gone. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. As you well know, they're gone. They're, you can't see them, but they're here.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still doing a lot for them. I still have to manage the house. Now have a job that I actually go to versus with Nan Cakes. Of course, I went to it occasionally, but I wasn't running the bakery. I had people that did that, and I was doing the business part, which I could do a lot from home. So now I've got this whole different, you know, I have to be able to give myself permission again if I want to really move forward on some things that I'd like to move forward on. I need to give myself that permission again.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, there's so many different women listening to the Organized 365 podcast. It is very unique. I have always been this way, even as a child. Like, as a child, my mom would remark that I could talk to 80-year-olds and I could talk to 8-year-olds. Like, I'm just that kind of person that I could talk to any generation. I also can usually talk to any gender or demographic, or like, I like people. I like talking.
Yeah, you're people person.
I like talking to people. But what I find is, and the more I know about people, the more I can help bridge the gap between people that are not similar. But in listening to the Organized 365 podcast, literally you could be 7 to 77, but the average age is probably more in the early 30s to the late 50s is our podcast listener. Wide demographic range. Like, people who are barely scraping by and they cannot afford the Sunday basket, and people who just go ahead and buy All Access Plus and they, you know, hire somebody to help them implement it. And so when you are doing a podcast where in some cases money is not the issue, it's time, and in other cases we have the time but not the money, I'm constantly trying to speak to both audiences at the same time. Mm-hmm. Growing up, there were many times when we did not have money, but we had time. And then towards the end of my years living at home, my parents had a ridiculous amount of money and also a ridiculous amount of time. And so we had people that came in and cleaned the house and did the ironing and ran the parties. And so I was very comfortable with help being in our house and helping with different things. And then I got my own house and realized I had no money. And for a while, I had no time. But I really liked the idea of having people in the house. And so I have had people clean the house when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, when the kids were little. And then in my late 30s, I cleaned other people's houses and professionally organized. And now, you know, in my late 40s, I have people that work for me in Organize 365 and help me clean the house. And often, you know, the question is, what is the best use of your time at this time in your life with the financial resources you have? So Nancy, while you are, your family is doing very well, you've got a lot of college bills, right? Right behind that is going to be the weddings, right? And like, cha-ching, cha-ching. Every time I turn around, it's like, I am a human ATM machine. I remember my parents saying that to me, like, when are you not going to need any more money? And I'm getting ready to say that to my children. When are you not going to need any more money? Because it is, you're like, Oh my goodness. So, but as we, especially if we had children and we take care of those children, and that is our primary responsibility, whether or not we worked inside the home, outside the home, whatever, most parents would say that even if they're working outside the home full time, their primary responsibility is their children. Like, I mean, your children are.
That's the one thing that other people, I mean, that you can have babysitters. You don't have other people raise your kids.
Right. I mean, like, whatever you do with your kids are foremost on your mind. What is so bizarre to me, as my kids are 18 and 19, is trying to mentally not think about my kids. And like, when they call and text being like, you can wait 5 minutes, I'm doing something for me. Yeah. And so often we will say like, okay, we can buy this service because we will spend more time with our kids. Well, what if we want to buy this service because we also don't want to spend more time with our kids? Like, just for us, right? Yeah. And it feels very selfish. However, if you look at people who start businesses and make really big impacts in the world, they usually do that in their late 40s to 60s. You know why? Because they have more life experience. And if they had kids, the kids are like moving on out. So I think that the things that you would hire a personal assistant for today and the things that you are doing today are even bigger and have bigger impact, especially in the political arena as you are in. And as your children grow older, like, I'm even now thinking, like, as I'm looking at how we organize our house, like, how will this be when the kids have spouses and come home, and if they bring grandchildren? Like, and I know you have to be thinking about that as well. Like, okay, we need to clear this out so that when they bring home their boyfriends, girlfriends, which turn into spouses and children, like, how this house that you designed to raise your children in, you also designed to be the home that they came home to when they have extended family as well.
Exactly. And all the rooms now, really thinking through this, that have been designed for one use are now available for different uses.
Yeah.
And to try to figure out how to reconfigure the use of the rooms has me a little bit baffled.
Mm-hmm. And your home is, so it's hard to explain because if people don't go to historical homes, they're not going to know. But when you walk in the entryway, there's a hallway that goes all the way back to the back of the house. And there's a staircase that goes upstairs and then behind that goes downstairs. So it's a 3-floor house. But on one side is your living room and dining room. And the other side is like a great room and then the working kitchen. Most of our houses are not so sharply divided right and left side of the house.
Right, very symmetrical. That's a federal.
Yes. Yes. And so, yeah, it's the moving the people from the left to the right. So the last time I was over and we had a party, you had one whole side of the house totally shut off. Like, I know your house. So I was like trying to cut through and those doors were like shut. I was like, darn it. You're only over on this other side of the house. It's very interesting.
And the dogs too.
Oh, I forgot they were bad. So it's even harder for you to think about what does this house look like in the next phase of life? Because Nancy, no one's living in that kind of a house today other than you. People are touring houses like that, but nobody's living in one. So yeah, it is like saying like, okay, this is how it was designed 200 years
ago.
Maybe
I need to share tours.
Yeah.
I need
yeah.
to tour my house company.
Yeah. And I would ask the kids. You have really cool kids. Like they might have some good ideas.
Yeah. Katie always has really good design and she's a systems engineer. So she's great at thinking through process and, so yeah, we actually were kind of having a little bit of those conversations in the last day or so since they're home for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to talk to you about something else that may be unusual that some people in the Organized 365 community may be experiencing and not all, is that I have moved from being an in-home professional organizer, which is how we had our first professional organizing relationship, to an online motivational teacher with courses. And you're like, can you come organize the house? And I'm like, nope, you have to do it yourself now. And obviously you could get another professional organizer, but you have moved into the Organized 365 systems. Like you have a Sunday basket and you listen to the podcast. And what is it like being in charge of your own organization in the house? What do you like about it? And what don't you like about it, having used a professional organizer?
Well, it's, you know, I'm probably unique in that I use the same Organized 365 person's mind as I used your actual physical presence coming into my house. So I already kind of know how you think. But what I really love about being able to do it sort of on my own time in my own style with really good guidelines and support is that A, I can do it on my own time. Mm-hmm. And B, I find that when I do the organizing, and I know this is part of what you teach and how people learn, but when I do it myself, A, it stays that way more. Mm-hmm. And B, I know where things are, which is probably right now one of my biggest issues in this house because we're in all this transition of people and stuff that I don't always know where things are. And that undoes me. I hate spending time looking for things. So I started with the paper side of things, and I would say that Sunday basket changed my life in 2 weeks. I had no idea how much paper stuff I was dealing with and how much time I spent being frustrated that I forgot something or didn't do something or missed a payment or, you know, but like all those little things that Sunday basket just, and now I can crank through that Sunday basket in, half an hour probably on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's longer just depending what's going on. But in general, I can crank through that in a half an hour. So that I love. I also got the work box because I thought, well, if it works for home, it's going to work for work. Now, I have to say, I need to spend a little bit more time on that work box. That's a little bit different mindset, different setup, you know, different. But those are the things that I like. What do I not like? I would say, because it is on my own time, you know, when you were coming to do things in the house, it'd be like, okay, it's going to get done on Wednesday. We've got 6 hours and we're going to crank it and we're going to get it done. Whereas on my own time, I could be like, well, I'll do a little bit and then then I get off track and I don't do something for a month. So that's probably, again, when I get my personal assistant,
yes,
then maybe more of that stuff will get done.
Yeah. And also, I mean, a lot of you are even telling us that you're using the Organize 365 Sunday Basket Workshop organizers. There are many of them that also do in-home organizing, and that's working really well because they're familiar with the 100-day program and the Sunday Basket. So, and they listen to the podcast, so you can talk about what we talk about, but they are physically moving you forward faster.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, when I talked to your husband the other day, he seems to be pretty on board about moving, you know, the clutter out and moving stuff around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, it's funny because he has certain things that he can't wait for me to get rid of. And I'm sort of like, why is that bothering you? Like, seriously, we have kind of by default two pianos in our living room and we don't have anybody that plays a piano. What old house does not have a piano, number one? Number two, one of them I'm sort of babysitting for a family member in the meantime, you know, for them. But I think that one is going to have to probably find its own home. And then the other one is one I've had since I was a child and I'm not about to let go of it. Now, could it go to a different room? Sure. It could certainly go to a different room.
So, do you think the kids are going to want one of these pianos? Is that why you're keeping them?
No, I think they might. None of them really play, but you never know. They're kids. You know, I don't know. And the one piano in particular, it's a very nice piano.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to keep both.
Well, I'm in that same spot as well. You know, the kids are 18 and 19, and we've never moved out of the same house we've been in for 25 years. Greg says to me the other day on a date, I'm like, He goes, I really wish we wouldn't have gotten rid of so much of the kids' stuff. I was like, are you kidding me? I said, he goes, you know, like their clothes and stuff. I said, I have some clothes and I have their shoes and blankets and I have a couple toys. He goes, oh, okay, good. So then he was fine. And I, like, for the next 2 days, I'm like, did I get rid of too much stuff? What if I got rid of too much stuff? I'm like, how, if I am not diligent about getting rid of stuff, like, we would have to move. We would have to move.
Yeah. Right.
So, and now I get rid of furniture because we can't store it. And I'm like, shoot, the kids are going to be moving out in a couple of years. They could use this furniture, but I don't have any space to store it.
I know. And the thing is, I don't think it matters what size house you have.
You fill
you're going to fill it up. At a certain point, you hit the tipping point and you got to get stuff out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've started taking pictures of things that I enjoy that don't really need to be in the house anymore. And I find that looking, just glancing at the picture, it's like, oh, you get the same memory.
Yeah, you do. You know? It's true. You do.
Yeah. You know, all we can think that we'll hang on to furniture for the kids. But first of all, our daughter moved to Texas. There was one shot of giving her stuff to move. We're not sending a moving truck down there all the time. And her style is nothing like what ours was.
Right.
And she's in a one-bedroom apartment right now. So I don't want to hang on to stuff for the next 10 years until, you know, somebody needs it for a house. Mm-hmm. I think probably it's best to get rid of it and then maybe offer to help them, you know, buy a gift for Christmas of a piece of furniture or whatever.
Yeah. All right, I have one more question I want to ask you. It's a little off topic. So kids have been away at school and you and your husband have been alone in your gorgeous big home. What was that like? Like, because you were like, they had their own cars. They were driving themselves by the time they went to college, but you're a very involved mom. Like, you go to all your kids' stuff and you know what they're doing and where they're doing. What was it like that first year when the kids were gone? And what was your time? How did you spend your time differently than their senior year, let's say?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think our situation was somewhat unique because we had three kids graduate in 1 week. So Katie graduated college and then the boys graduated high school in the same week in May of 2017. So there was a lot of clutter and fluster and whatever of moving everybody that summer. But both boys are playing college football. So they both had to leave at different times, but way earlier than, you know, the regular kid for college. So that was all like the summer was just a big blur. Well, then just as soon as we realized that nobody was home, we started going every weekend to their football games.
Right.
And fortunately, the two boys, even though they're at different schools, they're kind of in the same direction. And for a while, Katie was living in that direction also. So all through fall, it was a little weird during the week. And I think when I noticed it the most was dinner time. Because I was used to feeding, you know, literally football teams. And all of a sudden, it's just Dave and I.
I'll come over, Nancy. Nancy's a really good cook.
I would love it because I hate it's so hard to cook for just two people when you're used to just making a lot of whatever. So come on over.
Right.
So through the fall, and then all of a sudden it was a holiday. So it's kind of like I think I was just in denial.
Yeah.
Well, then it got to be winter, and we're thinking, okay, now we're going to see what it's really like to not have kids in the household. And I got a wild hair and I ran for county auditor in Hamilton County. And I had a campaign from January to November. So again, I wasn't really feeling too lonely or not busy. And then all of a sudden we're back in football season. So last winter would have been the first time that I wasn't running for office. I wasn't traveling for football. And I would say it was a long winter. It was, you know, when I finally started to realize that the house was empty, that it's not so noisy, that I didn't have so much to cook. I didn't have all the laundry. I didn't have all the sports equipment around. All the things that were part of just the fabric of our life were gone. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, you know, definitely some morning time and, you know, but then I realized, well, gosh, you know, I can go to a movie with a friend if I want, or I can, you know, go work out more, by the way, you know, just the things that I wasn't really doing for myself. So I started doing a lot more of those kind of things. And then again, you know, we turn around and we have football season again. So we're still not quite out of that that routine. What's going to be really weird is the boys just finished their junior season. So next year will be their senior season. So that's where, you know, the rubber's going to meet the road, you know.
Did you want to run for office before the kids went to college?
Yes. I did.
So you've always wanted to run and you were waiting for the right time.
I was waiting for the right time. I'm still waiting for the right office to run for. I mean, I'm the right thing for me right now is to be on the Indian Hill School Board. There's no doubt.
Right.
But as far as something bigger and grander, it was something I've always wanted, not I say always, but for quite a while I had been thinking about and really wanted to do. And I think getting back into the workforce and doing the work that I do, helping women start businesses and being involved in economic development and in the community and seeing what's happening with job growth and seeing really what's happening or not happening with the wage gap and the investment gap.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's just for women. If you put other internationalities in there, forget it. And it's 2020, for God's sake. I was more passionate about running for something where I could make a difference.
Yeah. You know, I'm a fourth generation college educated woman. So I don't even know anybody else that has that kind of a heritage that I do. So I was always told I could do and be and have anything I wanted. And I believed it. And I was listening to an interview with Gloria Steinem the other day, and she was talking about the women's movement, and she was talking about what it was like when she was creating Ms. Magazine and all those things, which I know nothing about. And I'm ashamed I know nothing about it, but I know nothing about it. And so she was talking. It was before our time. I should know. I just feel like I should know. So anyway, she was talking about how when she went to get an apartment or a house, you had to sign a letter saying that you would pay off the house before you would have a baby.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. See, you didn't know either. I'm like, what? Like, and your mother or your husband? Women
or married couples?
This is for a single woman. Wow. If you wanted to get a house, your mother or father had to co-sign for it. And then you had to sign a paper saying you would not have a child until the loan was paid off.
Well, shoot.
I know. And
that's
she said,
pretty intense birth control.
And she was like, She said, you know, so women today are so frustrated that we haven't made enough progress. And she says, I look back, I see how much progress we've made. And, you know, I think I'm not saying that there shouldn't, you know, we won't get into politics. I don't do politics at all. But I will say that perspective and history and just, and she says, you know, women today are very, very frustrated with where we are and as well they should be. But if you look at where we were, we have made so much progress. Yeah. And she also was talking about how, you know, back at the time when she was doing all these things for women, it really was African-American men were getting their rights at the same time. And so that was prioritized over white women and then white women over African men, you know, and this domino effect goes on and on and on. And I love to talk politics and all these kinds of things. And the older I get and the more I research and the more I learn, the more I realize I know nothing. Like, I know nothing. Like, I know what seems
so much to know. You know, there's just so much to know. So much history. And but if you think about it, it's only been 100 years since white women can vote.
Yeah.
And far less time since African American people have been able to vote in the United States. So, and that really is kind of close to our lifetime that that came about. And that is hard to believe when you really think about it. But and yeah, I think we all get frustrated at where things aren't, but I think you make a really good point that that doesn't mean stop. It just means chill a little bit because we have come a long way.
And I think because of social media and that we can find an answer on Google like that, we expect that everybody has the same perspective we do. And I try as much as possible not to be a middle class, middle aged white woman, but it's what I am.
Right.
And I think about what was that movie, my favorite movie, Secret of My Success, when he's like, I could be smarter, I could be more educated, I could be whatever you want. She goes, can you be a minority woman? And he's like, dang, I can't get this job. You know, like we feel like everyone should know our history and our story and our perspective that we bring to the table when we look at politics, when we look at our home, when we look at the job market and employment and roles in society. And I'm trying my hardest, you guys. I'm trying my hardest, but nobody can. Nobody can see it from all angles. And so anyway.
I think we need to give each other grace in that area too. Yeah. But if I don't understand what you have going on in life, it's because I don't understand what you have going on in life.
Right.
It's not because I don't care.
Right.
It's because I those aren't the shoes that I'm walking in. I'd love to learn. I'd love to be compassionate. I'd love to help in any way that I can, but I can't just know. Right. And I don't expect anybody to just know what I have going on.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just have to give each other some grace.
So Nancy, I know you have to go, so we're going to let you go. I think this is a great discussion. I know we didn't talk about, you know, like the 100-day program, XYZ, but I just think, I know there are a lot of women like you and I that are entering this empty nesting time. And I just love that one of the first things that you did was run for office. Like, apparently it has been on your bucket list for a while, but the opportunity presented itself. You did it. You learned a lot. And now you're ready for the next office that you run for. I cannot wait to help support you. Wish I lived in your county. I don't. I'm going to have to move in order to vote for you, Nancy.
Well, you know.
Will you build me a house like yours next door?
I got plenty of room in this one.
Right. I'll just be in that front room you don't know what to do with. You'll never see me, I promise. Quiet as a mouse. I won't bring my whole family either. Just I'll move there in that front room.
Well, actually, we were joking with some mutual friends of yours and mine that instead of putting money into like a senior retirement area when we get older, that we should just turn our house into a living place for like, you know, three or
That'd
four couples.
Good.
We'd have
good.
Plenty of room for three or four couples. We'd all have kind of our roles. We could hire a cook. We could hire a housekeeper. We'd hire the landscaper.
Oh, you're speaking my love language now. Hire all those things out so we could just do puzzles and play cards.
I know.
And you'll cook.
And, you know, we could just hang out in a homey place. You know,
we'd start 18 businesses. You know that.
Of course we would.
We'd be the business owners.
We'd be the most profitable senior center in town.
Okay, you know what I love about senior centers? I don't know why you people aren't trying to get in them. I'm trying to get in them. They're college dorm rooms for old people. Like, they're awesome. you go over to your friends and you talk and then you go back to your room. Like, I can't wait.
I just think all the puzzles you can do.
I know. They always have one going.
And you can watch television and do a puzzle at the same time whenever you felt like it.
Oh my gosh, heaven on earth. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for coming on the Organize 365 podcast. So excited to hear what you're going to be doing next. And thanks everyone for joining us.
Thanks, Lisa.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.